Today is the 20th March 1998. Our talk today is the last talk in this 3 weeks retreat. In this talk, I think I should deal with how a meditator goes through all 13 stages of insight, knowledges, and attain the enlightenment very briefly, so that meditator knows his way to the cessation of suffering. There are 7 kinds of purification which a meditator has to go through in the course of his meditation, and also 13 stages of insight and knowledge, and the 4 stages of enlightenment. 13 stages of insight, knowledge are mundane. 4 stages of enlightenment are supramundane. When a meditator is about to practice meditation, first of all, he need to purify his morality. To purify morality, a purification of a morality is the basic requirement for every meditator, either samatha meditator or vipassana meditator. Only when morality is purified, he feels clear conscience and happy with his deed and speech, which is very much conducive to the concentration and insight knowledge that meditator is to attain. That's why meditator needs to have purified morality. To purify one's morality, one has to observe precepts, such as 5 or 8 precepts. For Buddhist monks, there are 227 rules of monastic code, which are known as Patimokkha Samarasila. But for laity, at least 5 precepts should be observed. If it is possible, 8 precepts should be observed. That's why our meditators observe 8 precepts. By observing the precepts, deed and speech are purified. By observing the precepts, meditators have wholesome deed and wholesome speech. When deed and speech becomes wholesome, then morality is purified. Based on purification of morality, meditator began to practice his meditation. Here, our meditators began to practice their vipassana meditation, insight meditation. Being mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. When the mindfulness becomes sharp and powerful, then gradually concentration becomes deep. Thoughts become less and less. Then when concentration is well, the mind is well concentrated on any mental states or physical process, gradually hindrances, 5 kinds of hindrances, nivaranas, becomes sparse. Then with the deeper concentration, none of hindrances can come into the mind. So the concentrated mind expelled all of these hindrances for the time being. Of as long as the mind is concentrated well on the object of meditation, then this state of meditation is called purification of mind, because the mind is well absorbed into the object, either mental states or physical process, which is observed. There may be some thoughts, but meditator realizes the thought quickly and notes it, then the thought passes away. In this way, concentration becomes deeper and deeper. So the mind is purified from hindrances and defilements. It's called purification of mind, citta visuddhi. Purification of morality is called sila visuddhi. That's the first one. The second one is purification of mind, citta visuddhi. Since the mind becomes purified from hindrances and defilements, the insight that arises together with concentrated mind becomes penetrating and sharp. So it begins to realize nama and rupa, mental phenomena and physical phenomena. It begins to differentiate between mentality and physicality. It begins to differentiate between the noted mind and the object. It begins to differentiate between subject and object. When meditators, mind is well concentrated on the rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen. He come to differentiate the process of rising movement and the process of falling movement. At the beginning of the practice, before his mind is not concentrated well, he cannot differentiate between the rising movement and falling movement. He thinks the rising and falling process are one and the same. When concentrations are deep enough, he comes to realize the abdomen rises and then disappears. Immediately applied to the disappears, the abdomen falls, then disappears. In this way, the beginning and the end of rising process and the beginning and the end of a falling process is perceived very clearly. So meditator comes to realize rising process and falling process are not one and the same. They are the two different processes. Then it's at this stage of a meditation that he realizes the noting mind and the rising movements, the noting mind and the falling movement. He comes to realize rising movements is one process, the noting mind is another process. Falling movement is one process, and the noting mind is another process. In this way, the process of rising and falling movement, physical phenomena, and the process of the noting mind, mental phenomena, he comes to differentiate. When concentration becomes deeper, he comes to realize that the specific individual characteristics of the rising movement and falling movement, the individual characteristics of the noting mind. I have explained to you how a meditator realizes the specific or individual characteristics of the vayodhatu air element, which is the rise and falling movement. So this stage of insight knowledge is called namarupa paricheda jnana, the insight knowledge discerning nama and rupa, mental phenomena and physical phenomena. In the same way, when you observe painful sensation, gradually the mind becomes more and more concentrated on the pain. You are patient with the pain and continue to observe it more attentively. The more attentively you observe the pain, the deeper concentration becomes. Then you come to realize the pain is one process and the noting mind, the mind that notes it, another process. Here, meditator differentiate between the two types of nama. One is the noting mind, the other is the unpleasant feeling or sensation, which is also nama, mental phenomena. Then he comes to realize the pain as just pain, unpleasant sensation. Sometimes he realizes the pain separate from his body, as his self. Sometimes he is not aware of the location of the pain. Sometimes he is not aware of a self or body or mind, a body or person. What he realizes at that moment is just an unpleasant sensation, pain. There also he realizes that the pain is just an unpleasant sensation. There, the mind that notes it, mental phenomena, which is also a separate process. And then again, he comes to realize that the pain is neither a person nor a being, neither me or nor mine. It's just an unpleasant sensation. This is stage of insight knowledge is called Nama-rupa-prajñāna, the insight knowledge of discerning nama and rupa, or differentiating between nama and rupa. In the same way, when you are mindful of daily activities very attentively and carefully and precisely, gradually the mind concentrated on each movement or action. Suppose you observe stretching movement and bending movement of the arm very precisely and closely. So you follow the movements of stretching very closely with mind. Then you come to realize this is just process of a movement. It's neither a person nor a being. Sometimes you lost the sense of the arm. What you are realizing is just movement. That's why you're tattoo. Because you realize it as just natural process of movements. You do not identify it with a person, a being, with yourself, with me or mine. So in this way, realization of physical phenomena, vayodhatu, the movement, the process of a stretch movement, removes the idea of a person, a being, a self, or a soul. Sakaya deity is destroyed. This is also called the insight knowledge that realizes the insight knowledge of discerning nama and rupa. In the same way, when you walk, gradually you are concentrating on the movement of the foot becomes deeper and deeper. Then you come to perceive the actual movement of lifting very well, actual movement of pushing, actual movement of dropping. With the deeper concentration, you are not conscious of the shape of the foot, but you are realizing it's just movements. Then you do not identify that movement with yourself or with a person or being. So realization of lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movements very removes the idea of a person or being, self or soul. Sakaya deity, adda deity. This is also the insight knowledge of discerning nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena. When he proceeds with this practice, with this strenuous effort, enthusiastically and ardently, observing each mental state or physical process attentively, then the concentration becomes deeper and deeper. And here you have to observe intention, some intention before some actions and movement in the daily activities, and also in the walking too, intention lifting, intention pushing, intention dropping, touching, intention pressing, and so on. When you find the intention very clearly and see it separate from the movement, suppose the intention to lift is one thing and the lifting movement is the other. Intention to push forward is one thing and pushing movement is another process. Then you come to realize only when intention arises, the foot is lifted. Only when the intention arises, the foot is pushed forward. Only when the intention arises, the foot is dropped down. In the same way, In this stage of insight knowledge, also you feel, when you note intention, before you do not make any effort to lift the food, the food is lifted by itself. In the same way, when you note the intention, the food is pushed forward by itself. Sometimes it is pushed forward very long. You can't control it. When you note the intention, then the food is dropped by itself. Then, in the beginning of this experience, you are surprised at your experience, because before that, you have to put some effort to lift the food, to push it forward, to drop it down. Now, without your effort, as soon as the intention arises, then the food is lifted by itself. In the same way, as soon as the intention is noted, the food is pushed forward. It means at that moment, you do not identify either intention or movement with a person or being or yourself. You are just realizing the two processes, intention and movement. They are also the two separate processes. Then you come to judge. It's the intention that causes the lifting of the food. So intention is a cause, lifting movement is the effect. In the same way, intention is the cause, lifting, pushing movement is the effect. Intention is the cause, dropping movement effect. You come to realize this is called inside knowledge of a causal relation, or inside knowledge of conditionality, cause and effect. In the same way, when you observe the intention, daily activities before actions, movements, you know intending sitting down, intending rising from the seat, and so on. There also, when you are concentrations go up, you come to realize it's the intention that causes the action. It's the intention that causes the movements and so on. Here also you come to realize the cause and effect, causal relation or conditionality. This is called the inside knowledge of a condition, paccaya prajñāna. The same way, you come to realize sometimes your rise and fall movement is very distinct. You can note it very well, very clearly. Rise and falling. But sometimes the rise and falling disappeared. Then you can note rise and falling. At the moment, you become the puzzled. What should you do? Note, because the rising movement and falling movement has disappeared, you can't find it. Later on, you come to hear a sound of voice, and then note hearing. And you come to know your mind is thinking about the disappearance of rising and falling, that you note thinking. Then after you have noted the thought process, you may find the rising and falling again. It appears again. Then you note rising and falling. Here also you come to vaguely realize that only we have rising movement, we can note rising. Only we have falling movement, we can note falling. When there's no rising movement, we can note falling, rising. When we don't have a falling movement, we can note falling. It means that when there's the object rising movement and falling movement, there arises the mind that notes it. So the object rising movement and falling movement is the cause. The noting mind is the effect. In this way, here also you come to realize causal relation or conditionality or cause and effect. This is called Saprajñāna, the inside knowledge of conditionality. When you proceed with your pratyasam with a deeper concentration, then you come to have some painful sensation. Then you have to note pain. But this painful sensation you had in the second knowledge, the first and the second two, but though you have at the first stage of knowledge and the second stage of knowledge, you cannot observe the painful sensation very well. Now, when the painful sensation becomes very distinct, your concentration also deeper, because you have gone through two stages of insight. So you observe the pain, be impatient with it, pain. And also, your mind goes out and thinks about some pictures, such as forest, or trees, or the human beings, or ghosts, or devas, or monks, any mental image is created by your thought. It comes up in your mind, but you think these mental images comes into your mind by of their own accord. But actually, it's not so. When the mind goes out, and that mind, that thought, brings these mental images into the mind, so you see it. But you have to note seeing, because you see them until they have disappeared. If you realize the thought before it creates these mental pictures, if you note wondering or thinking, until the thought has disappeared. After it has disappeared, you return to the primary object, rise and fall. Or when you feel pain, note pain, and so on. So with great patience, you have to observe the pain, you have to be mindful of the pain more attentively. Then sometimes gradually the pain becomes decreasing. And after some time, the pain becomes disappeared. Here you come to realize the beginning of the pain, the middle of the pain, and the end of the pain. You come to realize the painful sensation in the beginning, at the middle, and the end. Sometimes, before one painful sensation has disappeared, another pain has arises. At that time also, you have to know another pain, which is more predominant. Later on, with the deeper and deeper concentration, the painful sensation disappeared when it is noted attentively. Then here you come to realize the arising of the pain and disappearance of the pain. Arising of each sensation, disappearance of it. In this way, you come to judge. Though the pain arises and becomes severe, but eventually it passes away. So it's impermanent. In the same way, when you observe the rise and falling movement of the abdomen, you come to realize in a process of rising, two or three movements. In a process of falling, you come to realize that two or three movements. Rising, falling. Here also, you come to realize the rising movement and falling movement are no one and the same. The rising movement is not a single process. It is composed of the three movement or four movement and so on. In the same way, when you observe the movement of the foot in the walking meditation, you come to realize when you lift the foot, you come to realize lifting about two or three movements. In the same way, when you observe the pushing movement, you find or you realize pushing, three or four movements, and so two or three movements, and so on. Here also, what you find is the movements are not permanent. One movement after another arises and passes away. But vaguely, in this way, here in this stage of insight knowledge, whatever you know, you come to realize the beginning, the middle, and the final phase of the object. You come to clearly realize the disappearance of the object, either mental stress or physical process. So here you come to realize the impermanence, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and the impersonal nature of mental phenomena, physical phenomena, which are observed. This knowledge is called insight knowledge of a comprehension, means the insight knowledge comprehends all three characteristics of a phenomena, anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature. With the deeper concentration, you proceed with your practice. Then gradually, these painful sensation becomes subsided, decreasing. You have a little pain. Your concentration becomes better and deeper. Your mindfulness also sharp and powerful. Your effort also consistent and strong enough. Then, at this stage of insight knowledge, the mind is more deeply concentrated on any mental states or physical process. When the mind becomes concentrated, you feel tranquil, rapture, happy, because the mind is concentrated on this mental state, any mental states or physical process which is observed. Then the mind becomes clearer and clearer. We can say the mind becomes as if transparent. Then you see some kind of a light which is associated with the insight. Sometimes you see the light like a fluorescent. Sometimes you see the light like the stars. Sometimes you see the light, the radiance of the moon. Sometimes you see the light like the headlight of a car, and so on. Sometimes you feel you are sitting and practicing meditation, overwhelmed by the cool rays of the moon, and so on. In this way, you find the light, then you note see. When you feel happy, notes happy. When you feel tranquil, you note tranquil. When you feel rapture, note rapture, and so on. In this way, very subtle and very sublime happiness, rapture, and thrilling sensation is felt at this stage of insight knowledge. Your mindfulness is also very, very good. It's ready to observe any object arising. Energy is also strong and consistent. Then you are happy with this experience at this stage. Then you are attached to this good experience. That attachment is called Nikanti, but not strong attachment. It's a very sublime and subtle and weak attachment to what you have been experiencing in this stage. And also you feel equanimity. That means that you need not to put any effort to observe any object, or you need not to put any object to realize the nature of our mental states or physical process. As if your noting mind is as if without the effort. So your noting mind is neither tense nor lax. This state of equanimity is also very clearly felt. It's you are attached to this equanimity also. That when you have the attachment, you should note it, attachment. Whatever you are attached to must be noted as attachment, until the attachment has disappeared. Sometimes this is stage of insight knowledge. is very much attractive because the experience in this stage is very, very good and very, very enjoyable. So meditator sometimes think he has attained Nibbana. So he enjoy it, then he is attached to it. Then he can't, he is not able to observe any object. Sometimes he forgot to note. Then, because of his knowledge of the disordering of a Dhamma, or because of the instruction given by his teacher, he comes to realize this is not the final goal of meditation. It's the corruption and inside meditation. Unless I am able to note attachment, I won't be able to go up. I won't be able to proceed with our higher stages of our insight. Rightly understand in this way, you have to note whatever attachment it may be, or whatever happiness or rapture maybe you note. Then you come to past this the states, and your mind becomes stable and calm and tranquil. Concentrations become better. The mind, the insight becomes sharper and more penetrating. Then it realizes the rising and falling movement very clearly, one movement after another very clearly. Sometimes you come to realize a series of movement and a process of rising and falling, one after another, rising and passing one after another, in the same way. In the walking meditation too, you come to realize a series of tiny broken movements, separate movements of the foot. But actually you are not aware of the form of the foot, the shape of the foot. What you are realizing is just a series of movements rising and passing away, one after another. Now here you come to realize rising and passing away of physical phenomena. And the same way you come to realize the noting mind, such as the light, the rapture, happiness, tranquility, equanimity, and so on. But later, second part of this knowledge, you come to clearly see rising and passing away of mental and physical phenomena. With the deeper concentration, you proceed with your practice. Later on, the concentrations become better and better, stronger and stronger. Mindfulness is also very, very sharp and powerful. Then you come to realize the disappearance of rising and falling movements, each individual rising movement and falling movements. In the same way, disappearance of the noting mind. You note one object, the mind notes it and disappeared. Your realization doesn't lay stress on arising, it lays stress on dissolution, vanishing, disappearance. Whatever you note, it disappears. Whatever you note, it disappeared. So in this way, you come to realize dissolution of the object very quickly, very rapidly, and very clearly. Some at that time, most of the time, you lost the form or the shape of the object. What you are realizing is a dissolution, vanishing, disappearance. So you are not at that time. Sometimes you are not satisfied with your experience because you did not find any form or shape of the phenomena. What you are realizing is disappearance and dissolution and so on. Sometimes you have lost the physical form. What is left is just consciousness. Then you have to note knowing. But that consciousness also vanishes and rises and vanishes and rises in this way. This is called the inside knowledge of dissolution. We call it the Bhanga Jnana. The third jnana, inside knowledge of comprehension, is called Samasana Jnana. The fourth one, The inside knowledge of arising passing away is called Udyabhya Jnana. Now this is the fifth one. It's inside knowledge of dissolution is Bhanga Jnana. After that, you have to observe mostly disappearance and dissolution of the object. So you have these things are fearful because they are all the time very instantly vanishing, disappearing, so that feeling of the fear or that aspect of fearfulness or awareness of fearfulness is called Bhaya Jnana, the inside knowledge of fearfulness. And then you come, because you feel these are all the time vanishing, dissolution, so they are not good. You want to, you are not satisfied with this state of phenomena. So you feel misery, all these things are miserable. Then your mind is not bright and active. It becomes relaxing and you feel dismay. This is called the inside knowledge of misery. Then after that, because you have experienced disappearance and dissolution of these mental and physical phenomena, you find fault with them and you want to get rid of it, rid of this mental and physical phenomena. You feel a desire to liberate from this mental and physical phenomena which are all the time vanishing, dissolution. In this stage of insight, though you have good experiences, that means deep concentration and sharper mindfulness, but you can't sit a long time. Say you sit about 50 minutes, then you want to change your position. You want to get up and practice walking meditation. In the walking meditation, you can't stay in long. So, sit about 20 minutes or so, you want to sit down and so on. That means you are not satisfied with the experience of this disappearance and vanishing of mental and physical phenomena. You want to get rid of it. This is called Mojjhi-dukkha-miyata jnana. The meaning is the inside knowledge of a desire for deliverance. Then when you proceed with your practice, you have the many varieties of a painful sensation again. The painful sensation arises very severely, very strong. You have to put some more effort and to observe it. Sometimes you can't bear it. You want to get up, you want to change your position, but you do not change it. You do not get up. You perseveringly, persistently observe the pain. Then later on, the pain disappeared abruptly, suddenly. Then another pain comes, you note it disappeared abruptly. Then another pain comes, and then you note it disappears instantly, and so on. Then in this way, you have to review the impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of a mental physical phenomena, which you experience at the stage, the third stage of insight knowledge of comprehension. Now you have to reobserve it or renote it, contemplate on it, so that these mental states and physical processes are actually not everlasting, not permanent. They arise and then very instantly passes away. You come to realize them. It's called inside knowledge of reobservation. Then after this stage, you come to the best stage of inside knowledge. At this stage, you have sometimes no pain at all. Sometimes you may have a little pain, but you are mindfulness is very sharp, concentration is deep, effort is strong and consistent by itself. you need not put any effort to observe any object. The mind observes the object by itself. Then whatever the object may be, you note it, then you come to realize it disappear. Arising and passing away of the object, either mental states or physical process, becomes rapid and quick. Sometimes you have to look at it. You do not label it, you do not note it. Just observe it, just perceive it, rising and passing away of phenomena. Here, your concentration is very deep. Sometimes some of the meditator sent out their mind to outside object, but the mind doesn't go to the object. It's like a elastic. It comes back to the object, rising, falling, movement, or any mental series of physical process. Here in this stage, you feel neither happy nor unhappy. Even though you find any object which is pleasant and inviting, but you are not attached to it, you are not happy with it, what you do is just observe it, then that object has disappeared. So in this way, your mind becomes the stay at the middle of happiness and unhappiness. So it's called inside knowledge of equanimity, Sankharupakanyana. Then when the Sankharupakanyana becomes major, you come to attain the inside knowledge of adaptation and knowledge of maturity, Anulomanyana and Godrupunyana, and then you get hit into the path knowledge. You realize it's a divide of suffering at the moment. Then you attain to the first path knowledge, Sotapattimaggañāna. When you have attained Sotapattimaggañāna, the knowledge of enlightenment of a stream entry, then that jnana, that enlightenment, uproots the round view of a personality, Sakaya Deity, individuality, self, or soul. And the round view of the attachment to rice and rituality, it's called as Silabhata Paramasa. And also, that enlightenment uproots the skeptical doubt about the triple gems. Because this strict skeptical doubt has been uprooted by the first enlightenment, your sadda, faith, is firm and strong. It can never be shaken by any doubt, any other doctrine or anyone. Because you yourself experience the inside knowledge and experience here the Four Noble Truths. This is called Sotapattimaggañāna, the stream entry knowledge or enlightenment. When you proceed with your practice, you may be able to attain the higher stages of enlightenment, Sakadagami Magga, Anagami Magga, Arhata Magga. When you have attained Sakadagami Magga, the second stage of enlightenment, you become Sakadagami, once returned now. It means after you have attained the second enlightenment, you will be reborn in the higher world, such as Deva and Brahma, but you may come once, only once, to this sensuous world, karma, existence. That Sakadagami Magga, that the second enlightenment, eradicates weakens the sensuous desire or craving and ill will, dosa, kamaraga and dosa. When you have attained the third enlightenment, anagami mega, you come to anagam, non-returner. You will never come to sensuous existence, it means. This third enlightenment uproots sensuous craving or desire and ill will completely, kamaraga and dosa. Then when you have attained the final enlightenment of Arhatship, all mental defilement has been completely uprooted, eradicated, eliminated by this final enlightenment. Then you become Arahant, and your mind is completely purified from all mental defilements, hindrances, and negative mental states, so you live in peace and happiness. This is the final goal of a meditator. At least you should aim at the attainment of the first stage of enlightenment, so the Patimagganyana. With that enlightenment and your mind, you should strive your best. But you need enough effort and enough time. But 10 days meditation, 2 weeks meditation, 3 weeks meditation is not enough to attain any, at least the lowest stage of enlightenment. So the Patimagganyana, not enough. When your inside knowledge becomes mature, you have to stop and go home back. Then again, when you came to another 10 days retreat or 2 weeks retreat, then you start from the beginning and go up gradually. When the concentrations are deep enough and some experience and some inside knowledge, then you stop and go home back. So you need enough effort and enough time for attainment of these four stages of enlightenment, at least the lowest stage of enlightenment. 5 minutes passed. I think it's enough. Now I'm very briefly explaining to you the 13 stages of insight knowledge and the four stages of enlightenment. You may find some experience you have had in your meditation is in conformity with the point I mentioned in this discourse. Then you can know where you are. Then you have to proceed with your practice for long journey. May all of you strive your best and attain the final stage of enlightenment and become Arahant.